Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Aaron here for you. 713-780-3776. We will play What Did You Learn This Weekend in one sentence. We'll do that in about 45 minutes here, so get yours ready. Joseph Duarte is going to join us to talk about them Cougs. How about them Cougs? How about, you know what? I think they deserve. After this weekend, we had no Texans football. We had Texas and Texas A&M. Did not look very good. Not. I don't want to say not very good. Texas looked like dog crap, and Texas A&M was just outplayed by Ole Miss. Just out, flat out outplayed. Outcoached as well, because I thought Lane Kiffin had a great game plan. Running to the line of scrimmage, playing as fast as they possibly could.
That's what they are. I mean, they're a tempo team. You had to know that going in that you were going to, you know, potentially fatigue. That's why you had to run the ball well and control the clock. And I mean, Zach Calzada is just—he pulled some miracle game out of his rear against Alabama. And he was pretty good the game after. I remember. But other than that, that Zach Calzada doesn't really live.
No,
he doesn't really exist anymore.
I tweeted out: did he turn back into the pumpkin? Does he go back to what he actually was? What we all thought we would.
We got to give him credit. He did. He won a shootout because I was thinking that, you know, you're getting a shootout with Ole Miss and you're going to get killed because you ain't going to match Ole Miss score for score. But he did it with Alabama. He did it. He came back in there and made huge plays and did it. So I don't want to say this is him and that's not.
But the quality of quarterbacking between the two teams was extremely evident.
Night and day.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. Maybe that was just the perfect storm against Alabama. But whatever the case may be, they just weren't as good as Ole Miss.
You look at that though. Saturday night. When you look at it though, and you're Texas A&M, you've lost to Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State. You still have LSU to go. You could end up 2-4 in the SEC West.
You
haven't played LSU yet.
No, you haven't played LSU
yet. So you could end up 2-4 in the SEC West. It's still possible.
Yeah.
Well, best you're going to do is 3-3, just in your half of the division.
Right.
Good luck, Longhorns in Oklahoma.
As good as this Aggie team is defensively, and let's say, you can say this, neither of those teams are even close to that defensively.
No, the Oklahoma finally got their comeuppance. As the season rolls on, like, there was no way they were going to stay undefeated. And Baylor got them. They were a 6.5-point dog, and they dominated them. I mean, defensively, Oklahoma couldn't do anything offensively. Baylor did a great job. Dave Aranda has done one hell of a job in a one-year rebuild, basically. They were terrible last year, his first year in, the COVID year. And it's been kind of funny watching how strange. You saw Penn State was an atrocity last year against the, you know, in COVID, and they're much better this year. And Baylor had a terrible year, but, boy, they got a great win. But I think you know, of all the stuff that happened this weekend, I think the most eye-popping was Texas. Look, they had a four-game losing streak headed in. They're not playing good football. They've turned into a national joke with strippers and monkeys and people laughing on buses after getting beat by 23. Well, it somehow found a way to get worse as they were beaten this time by a zero-star walk-on making his first appearance, catching the two-point conversion wide open. If you watch the entire play, no one guarded him the entire play.
No.
It's like it's just Texas busted from the beginning of the snap to about 4 seconds into the snap when the ball was finally released, and they were beaten by a zero-star walk-on. Kansas had been 0-100 in games they were underdogs by 24 points or more since 1978. 0-100. The first thing that stands out to me is they've been underdogs of more than 24 points 100 times during that time frame. And a few of the years, they were actually pretty good with Mangino. So they were 0-100, but the Longhorns found a new record that they could be a part of, which is breaking the 0-100 streak of losing games where they were underdogs by 24 or more. And like I said, that stretched all the way back to 1978.
Well, and, you know, Steve Sarkisian, is Sarkisian the answer? And
I don't think you'll know in year one. I really don't. I don't think year one is enough.
You know what? You got to get more time. I mean, well, it's not a good sign when the last two coaches were also 4-5
right.
to start their careers because they got fired because they weren't any good. So it's not, well, he's just as good as Tom Herman and Charlie Strong. Well, they got fired.
Yeah.
So they weren't very good. When asked about whether or not his players had tuned him out, here's what he said.
I don't know. You'd have to ask them that question. I feel good about our messaging. I think we got great leaders on the team. But you'd have to ask them that question.
And I guess, yeah. I mean, does a coach know? Have they tuned me out? I don't know. I guess they ain't listening to me. When Kansas is up 35-14 on you, holy crap. What in the hell? What the hell is going on here? This is Kansas.
Yeah.
And they're up 35-14. Just awful, awful, awful. But we started with the Cougs. And they went to Temple. And now Temple's quarterback is awful. Well, the only play that they had was a quarterback draw all night long, all day long. That's all day, all night. It was 11 o'clock in the morning. That's the only successful play that they had. That's the only thing that they could do. They're bad. That is just a bad football team. But the Cougs are good defense, really good defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, even when the kid had some people open, he couldn't hit them. I guess in the entire Philadelphia area, you don't have any, there's no quarterbacks, I guess. I don't know. But
well, I don't know if Philadelphia is known for being a hotbed of football talent.
Well, Pennsylvania is.
Yeah, Pennsylvania. But not, Philadelphia is a basketball
city. Right, yeah. But still, you know, Temple had it going on just a few
Name
years
last
ago with
good
Matt
Temple,
Rule.
Name your last good Temple quarterback, even under Matt Rule.
P.J. Walker? Thanks. He was pretty damn good.
Is he Temple?
Yeah.
He already lost his job to Cam.
Thank you. Thank you. No, he didn't. He played.
No. Cam only I didn't came see the game, situations. But I read all the headlines. Cam was the team leader and had all the touchdowns.
He was the team leader. He gave a speech and everybody went. Yeah.
No, okay. Cam is what. It's like P.J. Walker didn't play yesterday.
I know.
Listen to the national people. No one even mentioned P.J. Walker's name. Did you see the game he had?
Yeah.
A good game yesterday.
Yeah,
like he didn't play.
He threw a couple of errant balls that one was dropped and one was picked, but otherwise, no, he played pretty decent. And you know what? Cam ain't taking his job.
At some point.
You think so?
I know. At some point.
I think Cam is that Mike exactly
Tannenbaum,
what he was.
Mike Tannenbaum
put him
said,
in there when you got short yardage situation.
Mike Tannenbaum said this. Yeah, he's a gadget guy now. He should be hitting a different stage of his career, and if he's okay with it, he could have a longer career. We'll just see. I mean, I was told how bad Aaron Rodgers was after a game. The same thing being said about Cam in 2019 when the Panthers let him go and no one had signed him, and after one game with the Patriots, national writers and especially former players were losing their mind telling you how great he was, and then he stunk with Carolina. Was that last year? Actually, no, that was last year. That was 20 because they brought him back for 21 and then cut him. So, yeah, that was last year that we heard that. The first game, Cam's like, told y'all. And then the rest of the year was like, Cam stinks.
Yeah, no, he stinks.
And so now it's the same thing where, you know, Carolina's back and New Orleans should, you know, Mike Tannenbaum was saying this should be a good opportunity for him to prove he's the quarterback again next year for Carolina. And all I can think of was, man, people don't learn from history. And what he is a bridge quarterback.
Yeah.
Maybe. If he's good enough
he's not.
To beat up P.J. Walker, he's a bridge quarterback.
But he came in and ran for a yard for a touchdown and took his helmet off. I'm back. He got a 15-yard penalty for his team. I'm back. It was like, oh my gosh, Cam, can you be more narcissistic? I mean, is
yeah,
there
he
a-
can't. He's got his own channel where he does black and white noir videos and with scarves and snifters of brandy.
He had a nice.
That's all fine and good. This is the problem, though. This is why people don't want him as a backup, because it's just about him. Like, it's not your backup quarterback has to be someone who is going to sacrifice and be about the team. You have to do certain things scout team wise. You have to be there for your starting quarterback and support them with your eyes and ears as well. And I think he just wants to be it needs to be about him, and that's fine. That's what a starting quarterback is, but I don't know that he'll be able to play that role of backup without making it about him. And so that's the same. I mean, the fans and, well, especially media made it about Tim Tebow everywhere. That guy couldn't play football. I mean, Cam has been an MVP. Tebow couldn't play football at all. But everywhere Tim Tebow went, the media made it about Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
You don't want that on your team.
No.
From a backup quarterback? For what? That's not what your team's supposed to be about, the backup quarterback. So that's a whole separate thing. You know, Cam came back to Carolina, and that's a fan base that knows him. So that's certainly all that's understandable. I'd say, you know who loves what just happened in this segment? Steve Sarkisian and Longhorn fans, because you got off Longhorns.
What? You know who doesn't
love
it? I'm
trying
to talk
bone.
University of Houston football, and you keep talking about Cam.
There's still
I'm
meat on
to
that
talk
bone.
About some University of Houston
we're gonna
football.
We're going to have the coach and the writer and a quarterback and everything
yeah.
like that.
Yeah,
we're gonna, it's,
yeah.
It's,
University
we're
of Houston,
already,
17th in the country. Yeah.
You would think we're the official home of the Houston Cougars.
We are.
Oh,
we,
that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Yeah, we are. That's right. Well, we talk more about them than their station does, that's for sure.
What do you mean their station? We're not the official home of Houston?
No, we're not the official home of the Houston Cougars.
Well, who are we the official home of?
We're at the Aggies.
Aggies, that's right. We're Aggies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have to be reminded of that?
You
do remember we have Jimbo on every Tuesday.
Yeah, no. Well, we have Dana on.
He literally asked that. You were serious about that question.
No, I was trying to. This is how much coffee I've had so far. That's not
gotcha.
A lot.
I got gotcha. You.
That's not a lot.
All right, we're just getting it started. 7-Eleven on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number.
Faster. Jimbo's like talking or the pace of which Ole Miss ran their offense?
Oh, that's close. It's
close.
That's a tight one.
Yeah, so we had to have Matt Corral out there, and we just weren't able to do anything with Matt Corral. He was playing fast. Zach Calzada did everything. But our offense line starting to come together a little bit. And here's Zach Calzada. Red 36, 24 pumpkin. Hurry, warp speed, 22.
Everything. I mean, Ole Miss is as fast as it gets in college football.
No. And it was a good game plan because the Aggies were worn out. There's no question about that. But by the way, all week long, we're going to be giving away University. But they play Friday night against Memphis, a big home game. Been a while since the Cougs have been home. So we're giving away tickets all week long here on ESPN 97.5 to that Cougs game. So we get on out there. We got to fill up that stadium. Got to prove to the committee, if the Cougs aren't in the top 25 this week,
wait,
you know
which
that
committee are we?
The playoff committee. If they're not in the top 25 this week, they're 17th in the AP.
Oh, you're talking about just getting in the playoff committee's top 25?
Yeah.
They'll get in. People don't just beat Temple.
They were
Temple.
8-1 last week and weren't in.
You don't just beat Temple. That doesn't just happen.
No, that doesn't just happen. Not without something great. Not without,
you got to have some stuff
to you.
No, Houston will be in.
Yeah, are you sure about that?
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll be in the top 25.
Win over Temple, put the committee over the top.
What are they now?
9-1.
They're in.
You
I'll have
be.
To look at the back end of the top 25, but I'm sure teams lost.
I mean, their only loss is to a Texas Tech that beat the juggernaut that is Iowa State.
That is true. Beat the snot out of them with a 62-yarder. Beat the snot out of them.
There's stuff going on.
Anyway, we're
weekend.
Giving away tickets all week long right here. And somebody who loves his Cougs is Patrick Chastain. And he can't be happier about this. He'll be out there on Friday night. I know he will. But here's the deal. As a matter of fact, I talked to him just the other day, and he said, you know, just keep pushing this customized thing. This customize your car or your truck, and you're going to get it exactly how you want it. You're going to get it at the price that you want it at. They do have some. They've got a $1,000 rebate. Nobody's got rebates right now. Nobody has rebates. And Chastain Ford has a rebate of $1,000. They've also got 0% financing on select F-150s for 72 months. Listen, No car dealerships. They're not even. Not only they're not making deals, they're adding 5,000 on. They're adding 10,000 on. They're trying to add everything they possibly can because of how this car business has been for them. They're trying to just kill you. At Chastang Ford, they just said, no, we're never going to add anything on. What we're going to do is we're going to get you that car that you want exactly how you want it, customized perfectly at the best price that we could possibly get it to you to. So if you're looking for that Ford car or truck, there's one place to go. Chastang Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, or you can do it all online at ChastangFord.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. One thing I gleaned from this weekend was that, you know, watching the Jaguars and Colts, the Jaguars fight their ass off. The last 2 weeks, the way that they played the Bills, now, the first half, Jonathan Taylor just ran all over them. But, man, they stayed in the game.
They did nothing the second half.
Nothing.
It was really the first quarter. The Colts did nothing after the first quarter.
So this Jags defense is feisty. And you know what? They don't give up. That's a crappy team playing for a guy that, you know, they don't trust in Urban Meyer. That, you know, that talks both sides of his mouth. I don't even want to get into that. But here's the deal is they play hard. The Lions, they play hard. You know, they got Jared Goff who screw up a soup sandwich, but they're in how many games this year?
I'm telling
you,
they're
right. That game was a comedy of errors yesterday. That Pittsburgh game, they go down fumble.
It was like
they
six possessions fumble. In overtime. It has to be a record.
It was unbelievable.
In one quarter, and it's not even a full quarter.
10 minutes. They play hard. The Texans are by far. The most inept, incompetent organization in football.
Beyond the
line.
Well, the worse. Lions have some games they can at least point to.
Yes. No. It took a NFL record field goal by Baltimore to beat them.
Yeah.
They tied Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. They're fighting. They're just, it just seems like, I think they take on the personality of their coach. Campbell is a fighter.
You look at this, and Jaguars had a lead against the Cardinals at half. You remember that game because you had action on Cardinals, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Broncos.
Well, they returned the field goal. Remember?
Yeah, that's
they
returned right.
The field goal.
And there was a really bad pick six by Trevor Lawrence. Broncos beat them by 10. But you know what? The Bengals beat them by 3. Titans smoked them. The Seahawks smoked them. The Dolphins, they won by 3. They beat the Bills by 3. They beat the Dolphins by 3, as I mentioned. And then they came back, and it was 20-17.
Yeah.
For a chunk of that game. And then the Colts got 3, and Jaguars had the ball with a chance to go win. So, yeah, when you look at competitive games, let's say 7 points or less. You've got 1, 2, 3. You have 4 games for the Jacksonville Jaguars. 4 games. Now, the Texans smashed them head-to-head. But right now, you're right. Look at what the Jags are doing defensively, how they're bucking up and playing much better. Urban Meyer, if you wait out the news cycle, it's amplified because of Twitter. But eventually, if you wait it out like Jacksonville did, for a while there, it didn't look like he was going to survive. It waited out, and now they've won 2 of their last 3? No, they won 2 of their last 4. They beat the Dolphins, and they beat the Jaguars or the Bills, but yeah, I mean, they weren't competitive in Seattle. They were competitive with the Colts. They at least look like they're headed in a direction, and they have core football players. The Texans don't even have core players.
No, there's no core players. None. You decided to go with mediocre journeyman, veteran journeyman, mediocre.
You have like, if you like to go down, one of the appealing things of this Texans job is that you literally get to start from scratch and build it exactly the way you want to. I mean, this is, you're just taking out the trash right now. If you are, who's all the cancers? Let's get rid of them. Who are the guys that can't play? Let's throw some 1-year deals as COVID year, so it made it even harder to sign free agents. It made it harder for the free agents, too, so you had more available. Okay, which one of these guys can play that we're going to have next year? Next year, I got news for you. The roster's not getting a lot better next year. You can't rebuild it in a year.
No.
You have draft picks, but at least we have new guys to watch. Not people who have been drafted in the third, fourth round, a free agent or a Blacklock. That hasn't been that exciting.
Well, and there's been an argument on the college football playoff. So Oregon is ahead of Ohio State because they beat them head to head. Michigan is ahead of Michigan State, even though Michigan State beat them head to head. So how do you go about that? When you look at the head-to-head of the Texans versus the Jaguars, you go, oh, yeah, the Texans were a much better football team. Right now, the Jaguars are a way better football team. Way better football team. This football team, the Houston Texans, it is a disaster.
Your second-round pick, Russ Blacklock. This year he has one sack in six games. He has... I think two quarterback hits, but hasn't had one since the loss against Carolina, which was game three, the Thursday night game. I mean, he's playing 36, 38, 34%, 52%, 39%, 47%. He's playing snaps. He's just literally getting no pressure on the quarterback. That's one of your high draft picks also.
Yeah.
Now, it was Bill O'Brien's. So take that with a grain of salt. But this is an example of what you, in 21 games that he's played so far, one sack. And quarterback pressures, he's got four quarterback hits.
Well, I got a question for you, because I saw Whitney Mercilus have a sack yesterday. Mercilus beat Dwayne Brown and sacked Russell Wilson. And on a good pass rush move. I mean,
it was a real move.
He did it. It was nice. Is it that... I mean, this is a new coordinator. Is there something that the Texans are just doing wrong? Is there something that...
John, this is going to surprise you, but yes, the Texans are doing some things
wrong. No, I don't mean that. I don't mean it like that. I mean, how is it that Whitney Mercilus goes there and actually does something when he's here and zero productivity?
Yeah, but you really almost have to save that clip. I don't get it. Are the Texans doing something wrong? I understand you meant it specifically, but in a general sense, no one has ever asked that as a question. Yes, of course they're doing something wrong.
Well,
there's a lot of things. Whitney's just a guy who, just got a sack. That's all. He was done with the Texans. They shouldn't have ever given him the money they did in the first place. And yes, they are mutually exclusive. They should have gotten rid of Whitney Mercilus, but they also do things wrong. They're all of them, all of the above.
Yeah.
They're still doing things wrong.
713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How about, I'll tell you what. There were some games yesterday that you're like, what? Now, listen, you and I, we were with Mac, and we talked, and he wanted to know some futures.
Yeah.
We gave him with Baltimore and Packers. Packers looked really good. Yeah. They were 10 to, no, they were 12 to 1. It was 1,200.
12 to 1.
12 to 1.
In the NFC, them and the Cowboys.
You know who we should have suggested to him?
Who?
Was the Chiefs. Because the Chiefs, that was the best bargain you're going to get for the Chiefs.
Yeah, but they still weren't that. They were still.
No, they were still.
12,
but,
I think they were 12. But also.
Did you see them last night?
Yeah.
They were back.
You know, I had a friend say, hey, you got any thoughts on tonight? And I was like, well, I don't know if you want my opinion right now. But I said, honestly, I think this is the game. And this is an easy thing to say. People could have said this, and I probably said it previous to this. But I said, I really think this is the game the Chiefs and Mahomes snap out of it. And I liked over yardage, 74 yards for Tariq Hill, because he had like 37 last week. You knew he was going to get the ball. They just lost a cornerback, the Raiders. But the Raiders have been so much. This feels like a Raider tank job is on the way. They've been through so much emotionally. It's about time for them to drop like rocks. And sure enough, Kansas City stepped up. You got the Chargers lost at home to Minnesota. And here we are. Chargers lose. Let's see. Denver lost, right?
Yeah.
Philadelphia. Denver lost at home to Philadelphia, who was a three-win team headed in. The Chargers lost at home to the Vikings and got beat pretty handily in the second half. And then you had the Raiders and the Chiefs playing together. The Chiefs look like the easy, clear winner in that division now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, what, three straight losses for the Chargers? The Raiders are just going to be a mess. And the Denver Broncos never had a chance. This is – the Chiefs are back. The Chiefs – I don't know if the Chiefs are back, but the Chiefs are going to sleepwalk in that division. That division that looked like a good division is actually – A very average division.
Right yeah, now. No, it looked like game busters, and not anymore.
I would rather. Well, I don't know if I'm. I mean, we got a lot to get to, but the Titans and the Colts look tougher than the top two teams of the West right now. Honestly, and Jacksonville is just as feisty as Denver is, and then there's the Texans,
and then there's the Houston Texans. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. 713-780-3776. The Astros are being tied to somebody that's very interesting. Very interesting. We will talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we were just at the Nugget on Friday and Thursday and Friday, and it's just awesome, people. I was in the Nugget in Las Vegas. If you want to know the truth, I think the Lake Charles – now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the Vegas. I thought it's awesome, but
Johnny Avello said this would be like a spot in Vegas.
This is a Vegas casino. This is a Vegas casino and hotel. He said it would be one of the top casinos in Vegas. It is. It's awesome. It's new. It's beautiful. The rooms are awesome. The restaurants are excellent. The pool is so much fun. Listen, just go for the pool. Go one weekend and just go for the pool because it is spectacular. It's a little better when it's warmer out, that's for sure. But there is nothing. The golf course is excellent. Tyler and I played it. It was so much fun, and it's a good track, a really good track, you golfers out there. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a great weekend, now they've got sports gambling with the DraftKings sportsbook opened up there. It doesn't get any better. Just 2 hours down I-10. You're looking for a great place to go, have a big weekend, or whenever you can get there. It's the Golden Nugget Casino, Lake Charles.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, let me ask you a question, Lance. How many stolen bases led the majors this year?
Was it in the it's low 30s, right?
It's not.
How much?
47.
Oh, crap. No. National League?
National and American League. Between both. Because he played for both. Played in both leagues.
Who is it?
Starling Marte.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, the Astros were tied to him.
The Astros are tied to him.
Yeah.
Right now. 47 stolen bases?
That's not really Astro ball. We'll run a little bit.
He had a 381 on base, a 456 slugging, 837 OPS.
It's pretty tutti frutti.
I'm not, you know what? Starling Marte.
33. Now, is he the new Uncle Mike signing at age 33?
A dude that can steal 47 stolen bases at 33. At 33 years old, I don't see him. Now, I don't know how long I'm going to give him. He's coming off a 6-year, $31 million contract. He made $12.5 last year. I don't know. But he's still raking. I don't know. I certainly wouldn't mind. Yeah, Jake. I don't.
Marte, Mike, and Tucker. And then Jake's off the bench, and Chaz maybe. You might move one of those guys in a trade, too.
You might, too.
I mean, Jake Myers, maybe there's enough sample size that they're part of something. For example, if you moved Javier and Jake Myers, Javier's got some good stuff. He's still a young pitcher. Javier and Jake Myers to a team, that might be able to land you a decent starter, but it's really stupid for us to keep saying that because James Click told us last week we're good on our starters. He wants relief. So,
well, if you got rid of Javier, he's including Javier.
If you want relief help, then if you're moving Javier, well, he thinks Javier's a starter.
I'm not buying that anyway. You're good on your starters. You don't know that. First of all, you have no idea where Lance McCullers is, and maybe he has some idea. Well, he's got some idea but you can't be sure about it. And oh, by the way, it's Lance, and guess what's going to happen?
Yeah,
he's going to get hurt. You got Fromber. By the way, Garcia.
Lance is going to be in studio with us. He's going to be in studio with us.
Good.
We talked a little bit about that. And that's what, you know, you're right. I mean, you want to be able to count on him. And really, the Astros have to count on him.
He's
their best pitcher.
They have to. But that doesn't mean you don't bring in, hey, Lance McCullers was great. You know what you did? You brought in Justin Verlander. You brought in Gerrit Cole. I don't get, there's no way that you're just like, oh, you brought in Zach Greinke. Yeah, there's no way you just go, oh, we're good. No, we don't need any more stuff. Yes, you do. You can always use starting pitching. And if Oda Rizzi has to go to the bullpen, oh, well, too bad. So sad. Go to the bullpen. Oh, well. Or whatever the case may be, whatever you have to do. But you're just talking about if you package up Javier, he's counting on Javier in the starting rotation.
Yeah, and I don't – you could do the whole, you know, the whole trade – for like Maton and some of the moves they were making, trading position players for bullpen help. They could do that again if they wanted to. Here's the thing, though. I mean, Sterling Marte is a 2-year rental at most. He's a short-term signing. So you would have to think, okay, we have a glut if you look at Siri. If you look at Siri, McCormick, and Myers, maybe you could say, okay, there's a glut there. Remember your left fielder. Uncle Mike's not going to be there that much longer. So he might be there one more year and that's it. So you may be looking at one of those guys as your corner fielder. Maybe they say, listen, we can get Marte and we can play Jake off the bench, and Jake is eventually going to be our center fielder. McCormick will eventually be our left fielder. And then Siri is a guy that maybe they can move, or maybe we want him as our fourth outfielder in the future. But for now, if you were to sign Marte, it's probably not a 1-year deal, even though he's played on four teams since 2019. It's probably a 2-year deal is what I would think. Oh, yeah. At age
33.
I wouldn't want to give him 3. You gave Michael, you gave Uncle Mike 2. Why would you give Sterling Marte 3?
And then
3?
You gave him 2 more.
And here's
the
thing.
But then you gave him 2 more. You gave him 4.
Yeah, but he's earning it. You're doing it 2 at a time. You're not doing college football. You're not doing a college football contract where you're like, oh, this thing's lasting forever. That's what Carlos was going to get, a college football contract, a head coaching contract. You look at Sterling Marte, I guess I just, you know, stopped caring about stolen bases when I used to love it when I was a kid. This dude's been stealing bases his whole life.
Yeah. No, it's what he do.
This is a big part of what he does. 47 this year. He had 10 last year, but he's only been caught 296 career stolen bases, 84 caught stealing. That's it. I mean, here's my question. Would the Astros allow him to run as much as he can run? Because they're more station to station. Heavily analytics-driven teams don't typically run a lot. Would they allow him to?
The Astros used to steal bases. The Astros and Tucker will grab a base.
They'll grab a base. They're not 47 steals in a season, Astros. I mean, that's not what analytics is about. They don't believe in risking that. But he steals it at a good pace.
No, and listen,
I'd push the pace with him and steal. That's the one thing I think baseball and analytics has gotten wrong. And I understand they'll come up with studies for you and they'll show that. There is something, especially with these super shifts that are on, there is something about running and getting the parts moving pre-crack of the bat, where it has just a big advantage to put pressure on catchers, put pressure on pitchers, and to force some of these super shifts to move a little bit, like where they don't want to have to move, but then they have to move because someone's stealing. I think that I still think there's value in that.
Absolutely, there's value in it. How valuable were Tucker's stolen bases this offseason?
Well, they wore
this postseason
out the White Sox catcher left and right. I mean, when there's a weak catcher, the Astros will attack.
They will attack, and Marte will attack anybody. He don't care. He can run. How about and you get this order right for a change? Marte at the top, Tucker in the 3-hole. You get Altuve in between. You put Uncle Mike after Alvarez or 6th in the order. I'm telling you, you can really, really get this order.
I think Marte would be one too, because he does have. He has a little bit of pop.
He's got pop.
He has a little bit of pop.
He's 456.
He had 12 this year.
Yeah.
Home runs. He has a little bit of pop.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Altuve too. We will see how Bregman comes along with his. You could change the face of what you do a little bit. You could, like, I would love to see Tucker run even a little bit more. To have a guy like Marte would be very intriguing. They're looking shortstop.
Who had a higher OPS this year? Carlos Correa or Starling Marte?
I'm going to say Marte.
I'm going to say it was a trick question because they had the same, 837. Mm-hmm. It was a trick question.
But I get bonus points.
No, you don't get any
points. It's like hitting zero or double zero on roulette.
When you're bringing in an 837 OPS take place of an 837 OPS, he's not Carlos Correa. But oh, by the way, you got a center fielder, okay? You got a center fielder that you can count on. You got a center fielder that can play. That can run.
I want to bring your attention to something though that you need to keep an eye on.
Okay, Carlos was 850. He ended up 850. I don't know if that's posted. Carlos ended up 850. You lose 13 points.
I need you to keep an eye on this, though. This is worth noting, and this is a big concern.
He upped his career to 837. That's where
the regression to the mean. Do you know this is from a batting average standpoint his best since 2016. From an OPS standpoint, this is his second best in his career. That's a concern. When you're 33 and you do that, his best was when he was in 2019. He did it again at 8. He did
He's got
it
this a career 796 OPS, though. That's right at 800. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but it's well over anything he's had. I mean, he's only hit 800 in the OPS three times since 2015. The question you're going to ask are these numbers repeatable?
Three times since 2016.
Well, I'm not. Carlos Correa has a much better chance at age 27 than Sterling Marte at 33. So that's it's irrelevant. Like, I'm not looking at – you're looking at getting a center fielder. You're not going to replace Carlos's defense and all that stuff. When you look at this, though, it's not usual for a guy at 33 to have a career year. That's not usual, and it's incredibly difficult to sustain. So I would say you'd have to look for some regression to the mean after the year he had. If he takes a step back, who is he? Who is he to your team if he is in a 780 OPS range? Well, if you're not letting him run a lot, he doesn't have the same value for you.
There's no reason you wouldn't.
Is there a reason to pay him and not play Jake Meyers? Jake was pretty good when we saw him in a short sample size.
Yeah, but that's a young guy. You have no idea how he's going to.
Yeah, young and inexpensive.
You have no idea. You have no idea how that's going to end up. I don't want to get artificially old, but Starling Marte is a proven center fielder.
I just tell you this. I would give him a very modest contract based on a one-year, 33-year-old, you know.
No, he's probably a $10, $12 million a year guy.
Guys that have career years at 33. I think that's great.
Why are you suspicious of that?
I just think that's great.
No, why are you suspicious?
I don't like targeting unless they're professional hitters like Uncle Mike. I don't necessarily want to target 33-year-olds. I mean, a two-year reasonable. Yeah, no, this is an Astros deal.
Yeah.
A two-year deal at 14 million, you know, it's probably
12 million
more than that.
12 million a year.
He'll make more than Yuli. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yuli has the worst agent in the history of baseball.
Well,
like, I'm not even joking. Has any team gotten more out of a player than the Astros?
Gold glove and batting champ.
And they're like, we're picking up the $8 million option. Good luck, Yuli. Like, okay.
According to your theory, you don't pay him. And you know what? He's about making because he's 37.
Batting champ. He was just batting champ. When are the Astros overpaid Yuli? Like I said, Yuli's got the worst agent of all time.
Yeah, Yuli got made 47.
It was a somewhat speculative contract early on. $48 million
without any major league experience.
Outplayed it.
Yeah.
Every single year he outplayed it.
Well,
his agent's the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, he's made $51 million in his career with the Astros. That's still generational money.
He doesn't matter. It's not even remotely close to his production.
Zero. They gave him a close to $50 million contract.
You can tell Carlos.
With zero.
Hey, why don't we offer Carlos $50 million? It's generational money, Carlos. He'll be like, so? It's not the equivalent of what I've earned.
Yeah.
But that like, might be his personality.
Yuli has earned substantially more than the contract. All I'm saying is this is probably the greatest bargain in the history of Astros baseball is what they've had with Yuli Gurriel.
Could be. All right, when we come back, guys, Austin and Spencer, you guys should get it to the top of the hour. We'll get back to Astros baseball because it's baseball season, apparently.
Have you gotten to talk Rockets? All right, well, it's our weekly check. All right, last week the magic number was two total wins between the Rockets and Texans. Aaron, can you check the internet real quick? What do you have? What's the number right now for Rockets? And see if the internet has crunched the advanced stats yet. Do we have advanced stats numbers for Rockets and Texans total wins?
Processing two.
Two.
Okay. So it's still a two. It's still for the second week in a row?
Yeah.
Third week in a row?
It could be 4 or 5 weeks before. All right. When we come back, what did I learn this weekend in one sentence? And no run-on sentences like I did a couple weeks ago. No run-on sentences. What did you learn this weekend? 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? It doesn't have to be sports related. It could be whatever you learned this weekend. What'd you learn about your girlfriend? Or what'd you learn about life in general?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know. What'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
All right. What I learned is that it was another great weekend that we've been able to string together some great weekends, and that means patio weather. And I'm on the patio all the time. For those of you who get the big fans, you know, it becomes or even misting systems, which I mean, they can install it. I don't typically think. I think a lot of people just get the larger fans lower to the patio floor. Well, it turns into patio season all the time. If it gets cold, you can have one of those heaters. I saw one at Home Depot for $99, the kind you see in restaurants. It can be patio season all year long for you. The outdoor living spaces that they build for Texas custom patios are just remarkable, and you can have kitchens installed in them as well. It could truly be your outdoor oasis. Whether you're having friends over or family members over, maybe you're hosting Thanksgiving and you want to have it outdoors at on your table on your outdoor patio, it really elevates your lifestyle. And yes, you can make it happen. If you're wondering if you can make it happen, they can finance it and make it a reality. And remember, this is a good investment in your property because they are going to it is going to pay for itself when it comes time to sell your home. Forget the fact that you're just going to enjoy yourself a lot more. TexasCustomPatios.com. TexasCustomPatios.com.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go Sabercats.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, here we go. We're playing What Did You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? I'll start. I learned that the Big 12 schools really, really, really hate OU and Texas after Aranda kicked that field goal.
Wow. They do. The field rushing, the early field rush.
The SEC chance by Kansas fans at Texas.
Oh, I didn't hear the SEC chance. I was already at a restaurant.
By Kansas fans. The SEC chance at Baylor. And then kicking that field goal. Oh, after they stormed the field, after they had to bring the Oklahoma players out of the locker room, and then Aranda kicks the field goal, they can't stand Texas or Oklahoma.
Well, you just basically put yourself above the whole conference.
Yeah, you did. All right, let's go. 713-780-3776.
I'll tell you what I learned. I learned that we better start putting some respect on Mac Jones's name and maybe even for Rookie of the Year. I know he doesn't have Chase's numbers, but Mac Jones should probably be in the conversation. It's not spectacular numbers, but that dude's playing good football.
That's more than one sentence.
It's a lot of sentences.
It's more than one sentence. One sentence is all you get. 713-780-3776. Tone Is it Tony? Hey, Tone, what's up?
How about them Cowboys?
That's not what you learned.
That's what you learned. You learned how about them Cowboys. That's kind of terrible. How about them Cowboys? Yeah, how about them Cowboys last week? 713-780-3776. Let's get Ocho in here. Hey, Ocho, what'd you learn this weekend?
I learned the English translation of the Narcos thing word for word.
Oh, the English translation of Narcos word for word. I'm with them. I'm testing my Spanish. I'm learning new words, watching the subtitles and what they're saying.
Yeah.
I'm with them. I had some Spanish lessons watching it, too.
Some of their translations aren't great.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, no, they're not great.
But some of them seem like slang.
And I'm going, that's not exactly what he said, but okay. That's not exactly.
You have to know. I'm listening to what the translation is, and I recognize some of the words, and it really is like, and they're probably accurate translations. You really are translating in a general sense. I guess kind of like with our sayings
in America. Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot of colloquialisms that you just don't know. But, yeah. But even, you know, they take some liberties with
the translations. I don't have a pot. This guy doesn't even have a pot to piss in. The subtitles, if you did that in another country, an American movie, and they're subtitling in Sweden, like, why would they pee in pots in it? And that doesn't make any sense.
They would say he doesn't have any money.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But if the translation was literal, they'd be like, why are they peeing in pots? God. Just go on the grass.
Diego, what'd you learn this weekend?
Tyrod Taylor is the next Mike Vick.
What is this having to do with the dog? Tyrod Taylor didn't even play.
Yeah, he learned it. You don't question where he learned it. He learned it somewhere.
Maybe he was in some kind of dog thing with him this weekend.
I hope that's not it.
Jesse, what's going on? What'd you learn this weekend?
One thing, the Packers defense is for real.
Yeah, Packers defense is for real, bro.
Ain't no joke. Strangled the life out of Kansas City.
First time that even in a Russell Wilson's been shut out.
Strangled the life out of them. That's the ticket right there.
713-780-3776. Underrated mess. What'd you learn this weekend?
I learned that the University of Texas football will be the Nebraska of the SEC.
All right.
That's a slam, too,
that
by the way.
Yeah, it's a big slam.
Nebraska in the Big Ten is not not been great.
No. Tom, what did you learn this weekend?
This Rockets rebuild is going to take a long time.
Oh, yeah, it is going to take
long KPJ. Time. That's going to be a different set. It's going to be a separate segment later.
Yes, it is.
Taking a look at the Rockets.
713-780-3776. Bo, what did you learn this weekend?
Yeah, I learned that transfer in Atlanta was money, because last week he told me that Cam Newton would never play again. Mm. And he told me that Odell Beckham Jr. was the problem with the Browns. Thanks, Lance.
No, Odell's the answer. You'll find out tonight. Odell's actually been really good the last 2 years. It's been Baker.
Well, the Browns didn't improve without him.
No.
That's for sure. They look bad.
Well, I'm gonna take a look at what the final score was there. Oh, offense and defense were bad. Look at that score.
No, they were bad.
Look at that score. 45 a good amount of points to allow?
Well, but if Odell was there, they would have had they would have controlled the ball longer, scored more points.
That's true. Because when he's on the field, he's
unbelievable.
He's a massive
713-780-3776. Ryan, what did you learn this weekend? Ryan.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Hey, I learned that Chaz Johnson out of Idaho should be the top NFL quarterback prospect for next year's season.
Chaz Johnson out of Idaho.
Probably. I don't even know that guy. It's probably a lie.
There probably is no Chaz Johnson. That's his buddy's name, and he just got that help. You know what? I'm gonna mention your name.
You might be right. There's a hockey Chaz Johnson.
Well, nobody watched Idaho. Did you see South Dakota beat South Dakota State on the Hail Mary?
No,
you didn't miss it. South Dakota State.
They beat Pierre Strong Jr., a guy I wrote up, running back I wrote up this weekend.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Well, I'm telling you this. South Dakota beating South Dakota State.
How did we see that conference? Why did you see
Missouri
that?
Missouri State's in that conference. But, well, it was a big highlight.
Was it, that was
yeah,
the big one?
Yeah, big highlight. Anyway, it That's a huge South Dakota beating South Dakota State. You don't get that every day, Lance.
No, that's true.
Brandon is here. Brandon, what'd you learn?
I'm now looking up Idaho quarterbacks
this weekend, Brandon?
I learned that James Franklin is worse than Jim Harbaugh. Go Blue.
Yeah. Man, I'm going to tell you what a dumb play with 2 seconds. On fourth and two, he throws a bomb with a minute, 2 minutes left in the game.
What the risk reward? What's that about?
What is that? By the way, the worst. Franklin, Elmer's a big Penn State guy. He's so disgusted with this program because they got good players. They got good players, and they're just a mess. Jimmy, what'd you learn this weekend?
High school football is a lot more exciting than watching the Texans.
Oh, that's not even arguable. That's not even close.
There's no Zach Johnson at Idaho.
No Chaz.
There's no Chaz Johnson.
Quarterback at Idaho?
There's no Chaz Johnson. Made me just waste that. Yeah, we're in Texas playoff football.
That's
now.
His buddy's name, Chaz Johnson.
Had to be. Yeah. We're in Texas playoff football. Yes, it's going to be better than more exciting than the Texans.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there is. Hey, we got some good football. We got some good football here. 7-3.
I took three card poker's losses that were more exciting than the Texans game. Where I just folded after looking at my cards.
Yeah, and that was more exciting.
I was like, you know what? It's like a Texans game here. Let me look at this. Nope, nothing. You throw it. Here it is. You keep putting your money out there. That's what Texans football is for you season ticket holders. You put your money out there.
Yeah.
They deal your three cards. Nope, that's not going to qualify. Race. Throw it. Bleed out.
High school football versus Texans. That's a boat race.
Easy win.
Troy, what did you learn this weekend?
I learned that small town judges don't care about justice, even if the nation is watching.
Small town judges
don't care about justice, even if what?
Oh, is he talking about that? Did the verdict come down?
I don't know. Maybe
no,
so.
It hasn't yet.
Nothing yet?
I don't think so. No.
The verdict didn't come down on that
over
kid.
Weekend.
That kid that was crying.
So. I don't think they've done even close.
No.
Yet.
It could be. Ahmaud Arbery also, but no, I don't see anything here.
Oh, is that it? Is that Arbery?
Unless there's two of them going on, so two cases. So I don't know if that's what he was referring to or not. That's what he learned. I can't question.
I know. I know.
I got one. I learned that Lincoln Financial Field sucks.
Is it?
And the fact that I'm going to go on a rant now. One wire connected. The labor union won't let the guy come in to actually, you know, connect the wire.
Oh my gosh. So just plug it in. We did that in Chicago. Just said,
they wouldn't let me access it.
Screw you. We just did it. We just said, yeah, screw you. We'll just plug it in ourselves. You can't do that. Oh yeah. Watch. 757 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. You get back to you guys that wanted to talk Astros baseball. We're more than welcome to do that on the other side. It was good. What'd you learn this weekend in one sentence? Nice job, people. Let's talk right now about Coors Light. You know what I learned this weekend? Cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. I learned that I like Coors Lights. That's what I learned. Okay. How about that? That I like Coors Lights. I find that out a lot of weekends, most every weekend and most every day, as a matter of fact. You think I'm going to have a few of those? We got such a big weekend coming up here and next with Thanksgiving around the corner. How many Coors Lights do you think you can enjoy? Well, I know how many I can enjoy. I'm not going to put a number on it. I'm going to put how much I love them. I'm not going to limit myself at all. But I am going to have cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing Coors Lights. I can guarantee you that. If you're looking for the world's most refreshing beer, if you want to just have fun, you want to make it the official beer of watching the Hewlett-Packard Houston Open, okay, let's do it. You want to make it the official beer of watching your football all weekend? Let's do it. Make it the official beer of whatever you're doing. Make it the official beer of barbecuing when you're out in the backyard. Make it the official beer of golf. Make it the official beer of everything you do. It's cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.